And just like whenever, you know, like Samantha, just a small example. On to church, go to Easter, go to church Easter, whenever, just every now and then, and all of that stuff, you know. Went on living life. I mean, life went on, and you come on up and all of that. And then she's turned on to the good news. She starts being turned on. I had no idea till just then that she didn't know anything about time. I try not to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus crucified. That way, I come and hear what God says, preach what God says, lay it out, and then you take and you run with it. You run with it. You run with the word. You run with the, when something means something to you, don't come to church just to come to church. You come to church, this is your part of serving Jesus. This is your part of longing and seeking Him. This is your part of wanting to know the will of God. That coming together brings us in a corporate anointing, you know, and just like Monty was talking about, everything that we have been, everything that has been given to us in the spirit realm to be successful from the get-go of our life until the ending of our life. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, but my God shall supply all my... He's not just talking about money and cars and... He's talking about strength. He's talking about faith. He's talking about glory. He's talking about honor. He's talking about anointings. I started into the bathroom to get some water, and I heard the Spirit of God speak to me. He said, I am ministry. I said, I know you are, God. He said, you tell my people, this for somebody here or I don't know where. He said, you tell my people, he said, don't pursue ministry. He said, you pursue me and ministry will happen. I can bear witness to what he said, you know, what he was saying, you know, because I used to try to make it happen. Things happen. Want to do the will of God. Whether it's ministry or not, it ain't really, you know, you pursue God and God's administration will begin to unfold in your life. It'll begin to unfold revelation and wisdom, and I'm a free man. The Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free." You're a free man. You're a free woman. Our kids are free. They're under us, under an anointing. They're free. They're already free. We carry an anointing on our life as the children of the Most High God, and Satan has to bow at our walk, just our walk. We don't have to go around binding him all the time. We don't have to go around afraid of him all the time. Now, we do need to put him under our feet. You know, and when he comes, you know, I mean, I heard the scripture this morning. I'd walked around just praying, you know, around the church, just praying and everything. And God said, I have never let more come on you than you were able to stand up under. He said, because I've already made... See, a lot of the church people, they say that because they're under a lot of pressure. You know, God got this. God got this. Does he got it really? But they say, God won't put no more on you. God ain't put nothing on you. God put Jesus on you. Hey, that's all he put on you. He's yoke breaker. Come on, somebody. He breaks yoke, he destroys, he lifts birth. He is the anointed one. And his anointing is in him. And he is in us. And we are his. And we're already anointed. You're already a conqueror, more than. You're already victorious. I don't care what you feel like. So you can't go by how you feel. You can't go by, you'll never be enough. You can't go by that stuff. You must get God's word and let it be first place and final authority. If it says that you are a king and a priest unto God, then you renew your mind to believing that way, to thinking that way. Then you don't think, I am a nobody. I can't do. I won't never have. I can't go. No, you're thinking like God now. God wants you to think like him. That's why I teach the teenagers. I'm glad. I mean, God brought them out here, Sandy. Ooh, yeah, baby. I mean, I get to be a youth pastor now. I'm a youth pastor, adult pastor, husband. I'm not a wife. I think say wife. What a privilege to have all of y'all young folk. Did I mean one day I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, God, because I ministered to them, because I got the word in them, God. They're the ones that's preaching the gospel. They've got their own businesses. They didn't get jacked up in their marriages, God. They consecrated themselves to you because they caught faith through the preaching of the gospel. How many know God's goodness is what leads you out of sin? God's goodness is what leads you out of bondage. God's goodness, He's so good to us. And I mean, I say it a lot, you know, and I've preached it here, but it's not just about jealousy. Jealousy is fear. The world calls it jealous. They don't know what it is, see. It's fear. It's fear. It's competitive. It's competition. It's you know, I used to be jealous of Teresa. I mean, I had a right. She's beautiful, man. I mean, good looking. She's always been a fine woman, you know. But Satan used it and caused me to be jealous. It caused me to be in prison, you know, in myself, you know. Can't go to work without thinking about she's doing this or doing that or going here or going there or is she talking, blah, 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 you know. Nobody that's ever been in that don't know what kind of prison that really is. But that is a prison that you know, and the Lord told me I was in, and I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm getting in the Word, I believe it's 1 Timothy 1:7 or 2:7. It says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. And I didn't realize that fear was a spirit. I didn't realize that fear come and tried to get me jealous of Teresa in competition with somebody that's not even trying to compete with me. I mean, how could you compete with me? I'm the bum, man. Well, it didn't used to be that way. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Then you have confidence in Him. Now you're free. Now you know that she's blessed to be with me. Now I know that I'm blessed to be with her. And we're fortunate to be serving God and feeling that way. You see what I'm saying? See what the Word does? God told me I was in the jail. See, but Jesus said, be careful what you hear. He said, for the measure that you use will be added to you, and then more will be given. See, you can hear the word and not use it. That's what James is talking about. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And just like Samantha's talking about, well, I can't afford, she done been down that road, really can't afford to tithe. I got groceries, I got kids. Man, if you had 2 kids today, it cost a fortune. You know? And she says, nope, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to give it all to God. I'm going to give my trust to God. That's being a doer. I'm not tooting her horn. That's being a doer of God's word. When you hear God's word and your mind says, I can't afford to or I can't forgive, you know, then you say, I choose. I choose to forgive. God, your word says forgive so that you can forgive me. I choose to forgive. And once you do that, you are being a doer of the word. That's how simple that is. It is simply making a conscious choice to be a doer of God's word, whatever it is. And then God's results begins to unfold in that person's life, in their heart. You will feel it in your heart. I mean, you know, somebody did me wrong really, really bad one time financially. It was a lot, Johnny. And I went to God and I asked God, I said, can I backslide for a little bit? Now, I'm serious. I went to God. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, right? I mean, that scripture says it, don't it? So I'm going to God and I'm like, well, I got to teach this person a lesson, you know. Because you can't just let do the thing. But anyhow, I went to God and I said, God, can I backslide for just a little while? And then I'll come back. Because I'm thinking, He don't know what I'm thinking. I'm going to take care of business. But He did. He knows our thoughts from afar, right? That's when I didn't know that He knew everything that I was thinking. I didn't know, Johnny. But you know, God wouldn't answer. He wouldn't answer that one. He wouldn't. I just felt it in here. No, I will not take you back. You know, I thought, dog it. See what kind of God, man, was zapping. Zap them. Let lightning hit. Let somebody cut their ear off. You know, Peter in the Bible. I'm thinking something. Let the ground open up, man. Don't let them get crushed in there, but let them hang on for a few minutes. But God spoke to me, and God said every time I would try to pray and all this, I mean, that stuff will eat your lunch, man. It'll consume you day in and day out and day in and day out, and you don't want to pray anymore. And you don't, you know, you just it'll eat you alive. And God told me, He said, pray for them. And I said, I will not pray for them. See, that's not being a doer. And you know who was miserable, Johnny? Me. I'm still going miserable. I can't keep my mind on the Lord. Why? I'm allowing this to happen in my heart. I'm allowing it to. The Bible says for me and you to guard our heart. That's why y'all kids don't get upset with your teachers. Don't get upset with you, with the members in the kids in the school, even if they're doing you wrong. You just overcome evil with good. You just pray for them and lift them up, and don't retaliate against them, because the enemy wants you angry at them, angry at your teachers, mad. School's hard enough like it is. We get it. We understand. We're out here in life. It's not in school, but it's life. So we get it. So, but don't you let the enemy go and lock you in a prison by somebody else's demeanor or things. And you know what? When I prayed for them, it took a little while. It was about probably 4 or 5 months of every day praying for that person that hurt me deep. So I understand. I get pain. I get it. I get how that Satan wants us to feel like we need vengeance. We need them to do something. We need them to, I understand. I get it. But see, that's not what true freedom is. Even if that person had said something to me, and forget, that didn't change the fact of how it did to my life. And so anyways, I finally surrendered to the Lord in it, and for about 6 months. And then after about 6 months, it was slap broken. And I'm telling you right now, I could get around in front with that person anytime, anywhere, and never had a thought of that happening to me through them. That's free. That's where we are. We're in freedom. Satan wants to bind us with stuff. We're not here trying to serve Jesus. We are serving Jesus. I'm not trying to get a relationship. If you're born again, you are right now in relationship with Jesus Christ. Through the born again experience. Now, just as if you was going to go get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, I mean, you go take a shower. Man, ain't going out there, Teresa. I mean, I had bell-bottom pants, but I was clean. I had pants that was too short. My ankles showed, but I was clean. Carried some flowers to the school, and she dodged me. I threw the flowers out in the parking lot and left. You could see my ankles, I think, that the pants I was wearing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, baby, look at there how I look. So I threw the bouquet of flowers out, you know, and I thought, she don't deserve me. So I left, you know, and all of that stuff. But here we are 39 years later, God had a plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan. But don't let Satan trip you up in this school thing. I know how it is. I mean, we're having to help Aubrey. She's fixing to go into third or fourth grade or whatever. You know, we're having to help her because she's never really experienced pain when one of her friends in school is not going to be your friend no more. And Aubrey, come on, I'm not going to be her friend for like 30 days. She put a 30-day limit on it, you know. And so then we're helping her. Well, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, your words in a right spirit brings a vision to them. Your words in a wrong spirit, not biblically, in line with Bible, brings them a wrong vision, a wrong feeling, a wrong emotion. And so, but if they're free, they're already free. Our kids are under us. Satan just couldn't come take my 15-year-old son anytime he wanted to. Why? I set down rules at my house. Who you going to talk to? Who you ain't going to talk to? You're not going to watch Bewitch on TV. You know what I'm saying? Witchcraft. Not going to watch Pokemon. Not going to have Pokemon in there in your little cabinet in there. You watch the movie Pokemon. I mean, he's casting spells on the teacher. Or something down that nature. What? Yeah, Harry Potter. Thank you. About strong as Travis got was SpongeBob. And I didn't like it because Patrick didn't have a shirt on. Now some of these cartoons today, man, I mean, they're teaching your kids to rebel. I mean, it's funny, and they're teaching them to rebel. They're teaching them to rebel against authority. And it's on purpose. It's all on purpose. Technology, cell phones are great, y'all teenagers, when you get cell phones. Just do right with it. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. Keep it in its place to where it's supposed to be. Don't let them boys send you pictures. Y'all don't be sending pictures. Don't be pulling up no pornography. You know, don't be doing all of that. That you got to keep your heart clean for the Lord. That way you stay strong and you stay free. And I'm not just talking to the teenagers. They face stuff today that I never even thought about facing when I was in school. You know? And that's good. They're going to be stronger than we were. You're going to be wiser. You're going somewhere. Your parents don't want you hanging out with people that are a bad influence. They know they are. You really know they are, but you want to hang out. You really know they are, but you're not going to be persuaded by them, you know. Don't get all upset at your parents, see. Your parents know that you're going somewhere that those other ones might not be going in God. I mean, some of y'all got calls on your life. But you pursue God, and God will make the call come. I would like to see some of y'all just get so fired up, but God, you want to lead us elders out on the streets. Oh, Jesus, let's go tell them about Jesus. I'd have been dangerous if I'd have got saved at 15 years old. I got saved at 20, and I'm knocking the devil around everywhere. I mean, I'm like, you idiot, you've had me bound all these years. I found out about it, praise God. And I started getting in God's Word. God's Word began to tell me that it begins to tell me, you know, I'm talking about living by the Word. You can live by the Word. Your mind says, I don't understand how I can do that. You don't have to. Just get in it. Just ask God when you read the Bible or you're preaching or you're going to church. You just tell God, thank you, Lord. I mean, I'm listening to preaching yesterday while I'm putting in septic tank stuff. I got Keith Moore up there talking about going to church. Talking about going to church. And I thought, man, everybody need to hear this in around here if I had a loudspeaker. He talking about going to church. He said COVID messed up a lot of church people. He said they can't even. He said something's wrong when you can sit around 3 and 4 hours and watch movies, not even bad ones, and then you can't take time 45 minutes at church without getting upset. He said there's something wrong with you. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him, or the strong spirit of a woman, see, or teenager, whatever, young lady, young men. Oh, you get in the Word makes you stronger. Put the Romans 12:2 up there, Travis, please. Live by the Word. It says, be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? How are you not going to be conformed to this world? Right there. He said, but be transformed, be liberated, be remodeled, be renovated. That word means a lot. That word transform is like a butterfly into a worm cocoon. Then when it comes out, it turns into a butterfly. That's the way that word is presented to us that the Bible would do for a believer. It'll transform your marriage. It'll transform your finances. It'll transform your stand. It'll transform your faith. It'll transform everything. The Bible says if we won't be conformed to this world, well, what does the world do? Anything goes. Do what thou will. Anything you want to do, do it. If you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. You've got Jesus. He's a liar. He's trying to fool and darken and dim. The Bible says for me and you to forsake not the assembling, right? We're not. We're all in church. But we need to have this in us. Truth makes you free. Jesus said that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And then when COVID come and I couldn't come to church because that word was in me, I felt backslid because I can't do the will of God. See, I'm telling you that's what the word. And then I'm like, I don't want to go against Kay Ivey and blah, 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 and the government because I'm not supposed to be anti-government. We're supposed to pray for all those that are in authority. It don't say you have to agree with them. Amen. Well, when it come down to you can't have church no more, I thought that word is still saying that. I'll turn over and read it for myself. And it still says, forsake not. And I told Teresa, I guess I did, but I made up my mind. I said, God, if I go to jail, I go to jail. I'm going back to church. You're not going to shut the church down with COVID. Not this church. And I had people tell me, oh boy, you're going to kill people. I'm like, what? Are you seeing? And it was Christians. Sinners out there, Ma, I wouldn't quit going to church. I don't care what the government says. Sinners will say it. They're like, get a gun, go to church if you have to, Pastor. Then I had Mac one time, Mac here. He told me, he said, I'm going to get on the front line with you. If it comes down to it, he said, I'm going into battle with you. And I said, well, Mac, that's good to know, but we don't do that kind of battling. Well, he's talking about fight, man, get the guns, you know, let the government come, you know. And I said, well, look, Mac, we don't quite battle that way. I said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principles. See, the word, we got to keep our thoughts in line with God's word or Satan will warp you up. Satan will jack you up. Satan will slip things in. But he cannot do it when you're thinking in line with God's word. You're believing in line with God's word. And you're going to walk in line with God's word. And you're going to have what God's word says you're going to have. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Y'all young folk don't even think you need that right there, but get it in you. Just go ahead, look, go ahead and put it in the bank, so to speak. You know, if you start a little savings account now, you put a quarter in there, put a quarter in there, time you get up there, you're like, you ain't got to. Now, that's the way you deposit God's word. You get up 15, 16, 17 years old, you got your money to pay cash for your car. Why? Because you've been putting it in the bank the whole time. Now, I'm talking about the word. You know? I mean, we need to store up the word in our mind, renew our mind to God's word. Because what we're doing, we're laying up a good foundation for the evil times that will come on this planet. You're laying up now for the spiritual battles you'll face later. See, finding God's will is the most important. All of y'all teenagers, you want to go to California. you know, go off over there, you know, to college, whatever. You ain't sought God one bit. You ain't fasted. You ain't prayed. You ain't sought God. Well, we didn't know we needed to. Well, you do now. You need to be fasting and asking the Lord. And Lord, where, what's my journey? You don't want to be off over in California when you're supposed to be in Bluntsville. Right? He can put you in each state and still evangelize the world. And I'm not saying he don't want you in Cali. I'm just saying acknowledge God. We heard the scripture, Monty brought it up. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him when you're getting upset in school. Acknowledge him when you're getting upset in church. Don't get offended in his church. Love can't be offended. And we love one another, right? We walk in love. The Bible says for me and you to love one another. Love one another as he loved the church. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Don't let Satan ever get you offended at somebody in the church because you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He's the one that wants to bind you and take you out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. Mad, I would have quit my church. I'd had to get over it every time, Johnny. I would have quit the will of God because I knew it was God's will there. In marriage, don't go in marriage, y'all young folk, try it out. You're gonna get your world messed up. You go in, you marry one woman, and you're going to stay with her the rest of your life. You don't even get up there and confess till death do us part, junk. Put the blessing on your life. It ain't death to y'all part. You're partners, hallelujah. You become one, hallelujah. And you go in with that mentality, I'm not dating a man that ain't ready to get serious with me. He just don't want to have that stuff. I can't say a lot of stuff in here this morning. Or she just don't, you know, I'm looking for commitment. She's already committed to Jesus. He's already committed to Jesus. And if he ain't, he's getting there fast. If she ain't, she's getting there fast. Because Jesus is the way to a good marriage. He is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. Hallelujah. And we get our mind conformed. Look, I would have got a divorce a long time ago. I couldn't live with a woman 39 years. Not just Teresa. All of y'all. Without the anointing. And stay sane. And the women, flip it right over. See, there's no longevity in hardship if you ain't committed to the Lord. And he hates divorce. He hates it. He didn't say he couldn't have it. He told Moses, cause your heart's hard, that's the only reason. Because you won't forgive. You won't get in there. You won't find out. Teresa's just now finding out how to be a wife. Somewhat. She's just getting revelation. And I'm like, well, no, you've been a good wife all along. But this stuff is just so good and so fresh and so new and it's so exciting. And you know, and just, I mean, she's just having joy in her heart. Well, I'm finding out how to be a husband. I've been married 39 years. But I've never been in 2024. Right? I'm in right now. My wife has changed a whole lot in 30-something years. I mean, we were teenagers. We grow up. Things change. Seasons go. People leave. People come. People go. Change. Life changes. You change. The Word changes us. Praise God. So we're really learning how to live through Him now. Well, the Bible says that we go in His name. He said here, be not conformed to this world. This world is so messed up right now in their thinking and thinking. We don't want to offend nobody. If I say stuff like I've said in here this morning out there in the world, then they would say I'm a hate guy. You know, I'm prejudiced. You know, I'm trying to stir up trouble. That's our God. Jesus said, I didn't come down here for this total. I come to destroy the works of darkness. And when darkness is ruling in areas and me and you walk in, we are light, right? And everybody don't want the light. Everybody don't want you shining. Everybody don't want you going. Everybody don't want you. I mean, I've had them to say, "Mel, fat cat, Scotty. I'm 3 months behind. They put my house in quick foreclosure. All my trucks. I didn't own nothing then. I owed for everything. I knuckled down and I stood on one scripture in the Bible that Jesus Christ said, so you need to renew your mind to the Word, is why I'm saying that. I went in there and I said, no man has left mother and father. In other words, I put God first before my family, Dave, before my mama, my daddy, my wife, my brother, my sister, my kids. Come on, somebody. It's not real hard. It's a choice. And because I did that, Travis hated fasting. Travis didn't like going to church all the time. Well, I didn't care if Travis liked going to church all the time. I'm supposed to be a father, right? Not a friend. I've never been Travis's friend. I'm still not his friend today. I'm his boss and I'm his father. But I'm not his friend. He's got Dave. He got Johnny. Johnny can be his friend. You know, whoever else wants to be, he don't need me to be his friend. He needs me to be a strong father. He needs me to be a role model. Not that I don't joke and kid around with him and, you know, and I mean, I'm not just some strict, you know, just blah, blah, blah. You know, praise God, but I'm not his little buddy. I'm his father. You're your kid's father. Y'all mothers don't need to be your kid's friends. They need a strong mama. They need a mother that talks to God. They need a mother. They don't need grandma. Grandma's not their friend, but they respect her. I mean, she's really, really strict. Not as bad as she was, but I mean. But you know what? I mean, Aiden comes in there. He says, hey, Papa. I say, yeah. You think Grandma will probably fix me some flavored water? I got up and I said, I'm Paw-Paw. She's in the bathroom giving Aubrey a bath. And he's asking me, reckon she'll let him. I said, I'm Paw-Paw. I own this house. He looked at the bathroom and he looked at me and I'm like, hey, don't be looking at that. Look up here. Don't look back there at that bathroom while the grandma's coming out or not. I said, this is Papa's house. I said, do you want some flavored water? Yeah. And I said, don't look at that bathroom. He said, yeah. I said, what about buttermilk? Anything else you want while Papa's in here? Let's get some buttermilk. Anything you want in here? Anything? Nah, grandma don't want me to have all that. And I'm like, well, let's get you some flavored water then. But I just wanted to let him know, I'm Paw-Paw. I own this house too, praise God. And you can ask Paw-Paw if you can have some flavored water. Grandma she don't even want to deal with that. She's giving Aubrey a bath. Well, see what I'm saying? He needed to see a strong Paw-Paw. We better wait on Grandma. Gosh, I know she don't want him to have no sugar, but I got to give him a teaspoon. I mean, I'm not going to sit back, oh, we got to wait on Grandma. Or walk in there, hey, baby, what? Hey, would it be okay if I get some flavored water for Aiden? No, don't even ask me. You think I'm going to chance that? I'm just getting flavored water, baby. Have to get, I said, where's the mix at? I don't know where the mix is at. He's like, right there, Papa. He knows where the mix is at. He goes in there with Grandma. Hallelujah. He told me the other day, he said, Papa, he said, I'm a good cook. I said, well, I'm sure you probably can, or started out that way. He said, I could cook that popcorn, can I? And I said, not right now. Can't put, he's trying to get me to let him pop some popcorn in the microwave. Nah, not yet. You can't pop it yet. Hallelujah. Why? He needs Papa to tell him no. No. Yeah, you can't. You can't go in there and cook biscuits. You ain't going in there right now. Now, Aubrey, I let her. And I'm teaching her to be patient. You know, I said, she's popping popcorn. I taught her, I said, put it on 5. I said, but it's done popping on around 3. See, because I used to like to burn mine a little, so I put it on 5, go a little past 3, burn it a little. Burnt popcorn were one of my favorite. Not really cooked, but burnt, you know. Scorch it a little. And so she's in there, and I said, and this is how you're going to be able to tell. I said, when you hear it not popping, I said, it's a close sign to turn it off. And so she's in there, and you know how it is. It'll quit popping, and then all of it really ain't done yet because you need to go 3 minutes, two and three-quarter minutes. Pfft, they're not all done. I'm like, man, you opened it too quick. You cut it off too quick. I said, but that's all right. I said, that's all right. Next time, go 3 minutes. What am I doing? Teaching her to go. She's getting impatient here. That's going to be a lifelong. See, we need to be strong grandparents. We don't need to be grandparents that just don't give a good role model. I'm not talking about cracking the whip. Trace had some of her nephews over, and when they first, you know, come, it was, you know, they. I mean, it's early in the morning, Johnny, and they may not wake up yet or whatever the case might be. And got them together, and they're brothers, and they're arguing and all that, you know. And so I'm seeing Teresa. She's sitting there watching because I said, well, now, you'd let them come, but I ain't got time to be with them. I got stuff to do, you know. And so anyhow, I see her fly out there. I'm like, uh-oh. She goes out there a few minutes. They're split. She said, I'm separating them. I said, well, I understand that. I've worked them too, you know. Well, I went by there. She had one working over there, and I went by there, and I thought, I cannot bypass this one. So I come down through there. I was on my gator, and the one that he's standing over there, and I'm smiling. He looked at me, and I went, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. He said, oh, I know. And I went on. I told him, she's going to crack a whip on you, baby. You better. She's paying you by the hour. You ain't going to sit down there by the fire. You're going to be busy, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, they need to see strong people that work. See, I started changing. I started changing because I went and started living with around Teresa's side of the family. My side of the family, a lot of us, we worked hard to get out of work. And so that's what I did. But I started changing when I got around Teresa's, especially her papaw. See, he was a strong man. He was a loving man. He was a caring man. He was not a man that I feared. I mean, he was. I knew he was serious. I mean, just his demeanor and all of that. And I started changing in that. And then when I got in the Word of God, I found a lot of the attributes of the Bible that was in her papaw that I started trying to integrate into my life biblically. See, now, what happens, see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's Word. The battles you're facing and going to face, you need faith. You must have faith. You got to have faith. And so the Word of God is storing up faith in your spirit like you would put something in your computer and store it. It's storing up. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, you know. And so it's storing up faith. Monty and them went through a big trial one time, and big one. They're going through it, having it rough, you know. Trying to just, you know, believe God for this to happen. Pressures on every side. If it don't, this don't work or that don't. I mean, I understand we have pressures. And so I'm talking to him, you know. And then so I told him, I said, look, man, I thought, he's heard the Word. He's got the Word. He can do the Word. I can do the Word. You know, it don't feel good. It's not easy. See, it's not easy to stand for Jesus in school or even out here now. You know, but you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, I shut the door Monty, and the last thing I said, this has been several years ago. I told him, I said, now just go do what you've been trained to do. And I just kind of walked away. Got in the truck, left. What else can I do? I'm not going home a monkey. Oh, baby, I got your back, baby. I got your back. I'm like, hey, man, I got to get my back. You know, I got battles going on over here, too. I'm having to do what I'm telling you. See, look, in the battle, when you're walking and you've renewed your mind to the Word of God, you will be strong in the battle. The battle, you'll be strong. You'll feel the pressure. You'll want to cave to the pressure, but you won't cave to the pressure because you built yourself up in Him in faith based on the Word, renewed your mind to where it's in your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Matthew 4 is where Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tested of the devil, the Bible says. After he had fasted 40 days and night, the Bible says he was hungry. And here comes Satan, and he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus, all through that whole parable right there that he's talking, that experience, he comes back with the Word of God. First thing he quotes is Deuteronomy 8:3. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, God spoke to me back yonder in 1996, Joshua 1:8. And I got in there reading that story, and I realized that Joshua was taking over after Moses died. And Joshua was picking up the mantle that Moses had, just like our kids are going to pick the mantles up that we carry. They're gonna pick those mantles up. It's not just ministry. But you know what? God told Joshua, because I imagine Joshua probably thought, oh my God. I mean, there's millions of complaining people headed to the promised land. I don't know how many, but they was in segregated camps, you know, and had people put over them to solve their problems and different things. Well, he told Joshua, he said, the words that I give Moses, he said, meditate on them day and night. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And when I read that, after God wanted me to go to it, when I read that, I thought, he didn't say he would. God didn't say, I'll make you prosperous. I'll make you successful. So I said, why did you not tell him you would, God? Because, I mean, I'm taught depend on God, lean on God, and that's right. And the Lord said, well, I was with him. He said, I was already with Joshua. He said, I am with you. He said, my word helped Joshua and Caleb stay strong till they got to the promises. But you know what? God didn't even tell them that there was going to be Jebusites and Ites and enemies, that they're going to have to take them down and kill them because they're in the promises that God promised the children of Israel. So when they get there, they send in the spies that Monty was talking about. 10 of them come back, 10 of them. We don't want not one in this church right here to be facing something hard and come say, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. There's no word can't in the Bible. There is a word can. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You don't want to be in the 10 or 1 in this church that believes you can't make it through the battle, that believes you can't, that you're a nobody. That's ridiculous. The Word of God is full of God's promises. Well, you know what? He told Joshua, the Lord said, I'm with you. He said, I'm with you. He said, renew your mind to the Word of God. He said, and you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Well, if I believe that I'm defeated, that's contrary to God's Word. God says I'm more than a conqueror, right? So if my mindset is I'm defeated, then I'm not going to conquer. I'm not going to win. If just like Monty, he said, he thought about pastoring. But you know, it's not even a hard task to me. You know why? I'm called. And I roll all of y'all over on Him. I stay out of your business. I don't want to hear about your business. I try not to hear anything about you. I pray for you and lift you up. And I endeavor to be led by the Lord because I don't know how to lead you. But if I stay in the Word, Joshua became a leader through God's Word. He became the leader that God anointed him. Us men become leaders. Y'all kids in school, you ought to be leaders in your school to Jesus. Don't be ashamed of him. He said, if you're ashamed of him in Bluntsville School or Cleveland, he said, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be ashamed because, look, He is your strength and your life. He's the one that's going to take you into the future, and you will have a good future. You will have your dreams. You've got dreams now that you don't even know are not even God. I mean, biggest part, I wish school would burn. See, you got one over here. Don't tell us. I wish the school would burn. I wished a tornado had got it one time. I hated school. And I didn't do good in school. That wasn't good. But I didn't have people pressing me on towards Jesus. You know? And we pressed Travis toward Jesus. Teresa told Travis, and I'm going to close with this. Yeah, these ladies are going to eat. Teresa told Travis one time, she's getting on to him, his work. He's not making straight A's. That's why I walk around to y'all teenagers. Y'all making straight A's? Y'all ought to be making straight A's. Shoot for it. Just shoot for it. Believe God. Believe God to help you. To help you. Just believe God to help you make good grades. It'll make you feel good about yourself. It'll make you feel good to know that God's on your side, that God is going to cause you, according to Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver. It'll make you feel good that God's cheering you on to shoot for straight A's. Travis wasn't making straight A's. And Therese asked him, says, son, is there anybody in your room that's making straight A's? And he said, yeah. Named her off, you know. And she said, if she can do it, then you can do it. If there's anybody in your room that's making straight, and she pushed him for straight A's. I mean, you know, she pushed him to do good in school. And you know what? He's in the 10th grade doing 12th grade work. 10th grade doing 12th grade work. He went and got his GED and went to work. He didn't want to go to college when he was 16 years old. He didn't really have this mentality. I'm dropping out of school. I don't want to do good. I mean, sure, studying's stressful. Sure, studying's hard. Takes discipline. But that discipline's going to help you in your adult life. That struggle is going to help you be a strong person. I mean, if you in business for yourself, God's probably got some of y'all going to be business owners. And I mean, you got to take the steps where you're at to develop so that you're able. Or you may be in a place running Tyson's, making $300,000, $400,000 a year. His plan's past Jack's for you. Nothing wrong with Jack's. That's a good place to start and start tithing. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. I could go on and on, man. This thing's just in me. The words, I am who I am because of the word. Jesus, number one, He's that chief cornerstone. And building my thinking and my life and my heart based on the word of God causes me to have strength and courage at times when I feel like a loser and I'm not going to make it and you know, I can't take it and blah, 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 because now you're in His strength. So I want to encourage you. Spend some time in God's Word. Ask God to open it up to you, reveal it to you. Ask God, seek Him in it, and you'll find it. Listen to preaching. Don't just, two meals a week's not enough for you spiritually. Two meals a week is not enough. I mean, just go all week and don't eat but two natural meals and then think about it spiritually. You'll be eating by Wednesday. Something will take place, man. A hot dog will whip you on the way to work or something. I was so hungry the other morning, I went in there and had a piece of pizza, and I thought, pizza for breakfast, man. I thought, I sure am hungry. I said, well, I'll just take that piece of pizza. I don't eat pizza for breakfast, Johnny. But I'm hungry, Dave. I couldn't get a biscuit, so I'm going to settle for some pizza, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise You and thank You this morning for Your word. Father, we thank You.